Can you hear me now? Okay, you can. Very good. I want to just thank you for allowing me to come back to Bible Baptist Church here in Latham. And we just thank you for your grace and favor upon the rescue mission. You've been praying for us. You've been coming down and volunteering. I see people around the room. And also you brought music to us. So thank you for doing that. It means a lot to the homeless and needy when they see people coming in and celebrating with them and smiling and blessing them. So thank you for doing that. My wife wants to remind me, Susan is over there. We work together, we have for these 39 years, and so thank God for her. And she said that we are having a virtual Hearts of Hope at Home. It's Hearts of Hope at Home on May 25th at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. So if you want to join us for a virtual event talking about our women's ministries, Hearts of Hope at Home, May 25th, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. On that very day as well, we will be on the 25th in front of the city planning board in Albany, New York. So pray for us as we appear before them to hopefully get approval or near approval on a new 32,000 square foot addition to our main building. It's for transients. It's to get transients off the floor. We sometimes have 125 or more on the floor on mats, and we have them in lockers. We don't have lockers for them. We don't have a really good day center space, and so we're trying to change all that. And so the money has been provided for almost in full, and so we just need to have your prayers as we go to a virtual meeting. I've never been to a virtual meeting of the planning board when they were talking about us to vote for us. So I don't know what that totally means. I have met with them a bit. So pray for that meeting on the 25th, that we'll be able to go ahead because we have architectural plans already finished. We're quite a way on the project. So we just feel like we do emergency shelter, recovery shelter, and transitional sheltering, and our emergency shelter has always been overpacked since we've had Code Blue and all the cold weather. About 7 months out of the year, we have super numbers. So this is what that's going to be. So pray for us on that, if you would. And just that people won't be opposed to it and actually will come out and say good things about it. And so keep praying for the mission as the gospel is presented every night. It's just what we do. And we also have Bible classes and recovery services and all kinds of things. Come down and take a tour if you would. And thank you for your support, voluntary support that you volunteer, as well as your financial and your prayers. So thank you, because those things are very important to the city mission. This morning we're going to be in Luke's gospel. If you go over with me to Luke 7. It's kind of a Mother's Day from a back way sense, because it's about a woman. We don't know if she was a mother, but we know that mothers all around the mission and around our volunteer pool pray constantly for our donors. I mean, our clients, excuse me. Let me get to this there before we get moving here. Luke chapter 7. Wow, there's a lot of flipping here to do. Okay, we got that. Father, bless us in the word, that your word would take a hold of us. We'd understand your love for us. We just sang that song, "It is well with my soul, my sins not in part but the whole." That you, Jesus, you bore them on Calvary, and we bear them no more ourselves. And I thank you, Father, for your grace for us. Help us as we look at this passage to see the wonders of Jesus Christ and his blessedness to us. In Christ's name, amen. In a Norwegian sense of it, maybe there's a Norwegian in here, but in a Norwegian sense, there's a fable, there's a story. And the story was that there was a prince once, and he went into battle. He had his royal garments on, and he went into battle, and this prince was fierce. He was a fierce prince in Norway, and he killed a man. But he realized that as he killed this man, he had done an evil act on him, that it wasn't called for the way he did it, and he felt terrible about it. But yet also while he killed him, this blood from this man's body came on his royal tunic, and he had a stain, a blood stain, and he tried to get it out, but he couldn't get it out. And it reminded him constantly the fact that he had committed really a murder instead of just a wartime killing. And the story goes that he couldn't get it out. He offered any girl in the kingdom, sounds Cinderella-like, maybe that's where they got it. He offered any girl in the kingdom who could get this stain out that he would marry her and she would become the queen. And girls all over the kingdom took this tunic and tried to get the stain out, and they could not. It was always there to remind him of what he had done. And one day it ended up in a family of a woman who had three daughters, and they were nasty people. They had this poor girl, Cinderella-type servant girl, who did all the work in the house, including all the laundry and carrying the wood and doing all of that. And she took it on a nail for one of the girls to try and wash and get the stain out and to become the queen. But before they could do that, the little servant girl came along and grabbed all the laundry to go do it. And she grabbed that tunic, threw it in her wash cycles, and came back, and it was gone. The stain was gone. Well, the mother of the house said, I'm going to say my daughters did this. So she went to the prince and said, my daughters did this. And he was suspicious of it. He really found out soon that it was the slave girl. And he married her. She got the stain out. But I say all this to say, where is that going? It's the fact that Jesus Christ got the stain out of our souls, the stain of our sin, and forgave us. He paid the price. When I think back on some of the sins of my life, sins that were stains on me and my soul, and I realized that Jesus Christ forgave me, but he also cleansed me by his blood. And I bear those stains no more. I bear the memory of some of those things, but not the stain that constantly reminds me of my condemnation. And that's what Jesus does. He forgives us. Don't leave this earth without his forgiveness. Oh, Lord, thank you. And our story today in here, it's about, I forgive you. I wash you clean. Your stain is gone. In the life of a woman in the scriptures, you know the story. We're going to look at it afresh today. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Right now, I chose this because it's a Mother's Day theme, because a mother could love this passage, because a mother's heart always goes that way. She's a forgiving soul. Mothers, if you're out there today, you learned how to forgive, didn't you? All kinds of things, including your husband, and including your children and other people in your family. Traveling with Jesus, seeking, saving the lost, having dinner in a Pharisee's house, if you want point number one. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He was an invited guest. Everybody likes an invitation to something to go and eat. And I've done it too much, so I got to stop. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, there a doctor in the house? Yeah, there is. Dr. Luke was 66 this week, and I was 66 this week. We were born 24 hours apart. I was Friday, he was Saturday, so wish him a happy birthday when you see him, Dr. Luke. But the fact of the matter is, this woman, we're going to get to her, but Jesus is invited to a house to eat. It was a cold and discourteous sort of an invitation. Did you ever get invited to something and you wondered why you were there? Nobody talked to you much. Nobody really made anything to do about you coming in. nobody put any kind of emphasis upon the fact they were happy you were there. And that's what happened. A Pharisee, an Orthodox style of a Jewish man, came in who had been part of this fraternity, a very strict Jew, said, "Jesus, I want you to come and eat." The Bible says the scribes and Pharisees began to press him hard, to provoke him and speak many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. How'd you like that? Always have to guard your words. Well, Jesus didn't have to guard his words, but they would always use those words against him. And we see it throughout the Bible. He came in. There was no welcome. There was no welcome kiss that people do. I grew up with kisses from Greek relatives. My mother's name was Sotira Nikolopoulos, and I grew up in a 50% Nikolopoulos family. And many older women kissed me when I was young on both cheeks. And I always wondered, what is all this kissing about? Because the Jones side of it never kissed anybody. The Welsh, Stoic Welsh side did not kiss, but the Greeks always kissed. But thank you, Greeks, for teaching me that. But Jesus got no kiss. He got no foot washing from the dusty road. He got no oil of anointing. He just came in, sit down. We came here to see if we could literally roast you. So he's there for a roast. Having dinner at a Pharisee's house wasn't necessarily a very easy thing to do, somewhat dangerous. And they're there laying down in the reclining session like some guys watching a Super Bowl, you know, and the bowls of food out there, feet straight out in the back, and they're there, and that's where they are. And people could come in from the city and go on the edges to watch and hear the theological banter of these very powerful men. And that's where we are. Behold, a woman of the city, in verse 37, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. A woman who comes in who was a sinner. Don't know what her sin was. Most scholars believe it was probably something to do with prostitution and just a vulgar life on the street. It's kind of a woman you give a wide berth to. I will tell you this, we are finishing up our Women and Children's Center, hopefully within the next 30 days. In fact, it's so close I could taste it. I was over there this weekend. It's a new home for women and children, which will be for programmatic purposes. So they'll come on, they'll be with us for a year, and then we have about 8 to 10 apartments that they can then transition into and be around for a while. And I've watched the streets of our city. If you haven't been downtown, I've watched the streets of our cities be the roughest I've ever seen them in 39 years. And not just because of the demonstration that closed our mission down from the outside, which has now been over. Some of you saw some of that. We went through that. That was tough. But I'm talking about just the drugs, the prostitution, the things that are going out there. I meet women constantly on the streets right now that are absolutely basket cases. And I talked to them. I met one the other day on the sidewalk. I said to her, we talked. She said, "Who are you? Why should I talk to you?" I said, "Well, I've been the mission director for 39 years. And I've seen a whole lot of folk just like you, Deborah. But I want to talk to you about what God can do in your life." After a while, the ice broke. Other people were watching us. And I realized this girl desperately needs Jesus if she's not going to be dead in the next several months. Isn't that amazing? Because I know as I watch the overdosing and all of the other things that happen, there's tough stuff in our streets, and we're not a huge city. This woman came in, and she was a sinner. She was on the edge. When she knew it, the Bible says that Jesus was there, she brought in this fancy alabaster ointment. She knew he was there. She went there for him. He said, "Why in the world would this woman be there? Just Jesus? Just the notoriety of it?" No. There's three. I'm glad for the Greek text, by the way. My mother was She spoke fluent Greek, and but the in the Greek there is the perfect tense in the verb structure. It is something that happened in the past, but is still with you. Does that sound like salvation? Something that happened in the past, but still with you. Lord, thank you for salvation being a perfect work. Because as we go along, I'm going to point out three perfect verbs later. And you'll say, why are you giving us Greek lessons? Just because. And the fact of the matter is, when we get to those three verbs, which are the most important verbs that God can ever say to anybody in this room, when you'll see it, you'll know why she's in this room. Because Jesus Christ has already done a work in her heart on the streets before this banquet. And where he wants, where he is, that's where she wants to be. She wants to thank him. I figure, she probably figured he wasn't exactly in a glorious group of friends. He's the one that didn't want to use her or malign her or slander her. He wanted to bless her. He's the one that didn't want to condemn her and point out all of her sin, but he wanted to call her to forgiveness and a new life. He's the one that did not take from her like most men had taken from her, but he wanted to give her new life. He was the one that when she had been to see him, had left her full and not empty. Boy, that's the kind of person you want to be around, wouldn't it? We know about something, not just the perfect verbs, that Christ had already done a work on the street in her, and it probably was done on the street. He had set her free, and she was there to tell him, I appreciate you, I love you, Jesus. We sang songs that the world would sing those songs today, and hear them, and they would it would go over their head like nothing. But because you know Jesus, I believe many of all of you know Christ Jesus. When you sing those songs, they mean something to you. You're there. You're right there. So at this point, the Bible says she stood at his feet, behind him, which is where his feet were reclined out, and she was weeping. What do you think she's weeping about? I think there was weeping because, Lord, I'm such a sinner. And I was so sorry for what I've been. But I think there was also weeping for just the joy of not being what I was. Now, in the Greek text, if you were looking, you would see the word brexo. Now, if you were in a brexo sort of frame of mind, you wouldn't just be a little tear comes down that they put in the eyes of movie stars to make them cry on command. But you saw tears coming down. Those tears were coming down because it was like rain. Did you ever sob uncontrollably? I've watched people sob from the streets, and I thought, I understand. Just sob. It's okay. They were so sorry. I had one big fella, he was so tall, he could have beat me up. He was huge. He was a massive man. And this wonderful African-American man sat and sobbed with me because he said, Pastor, if you knew what I've been doing and how nasty my life has been, does Jesus love me? Can he forgive me? And I said, yes. We were up at chapel. But I thought it was good to see an old big 350-pound, 6'5" man crying. Wouldn't you say so? To see him broken before God was a good sight, and he liked it too. She was sorry for her past, but joyful about her forgiveness. She had a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you. She was serving Jesus from a grateful heart. She had found the one place where she could serve. You ever do something and you say, God, you made this job for me. And if you're a believer today and tell me, oh, God doesn't have anything for me to do, I'm going to say, well, then you're not looking well. And the Holy Spirit has been knocking, but you're not listening. He's got something for everybody. He's picked things out for you to do. and you may not see them, but you'll say, wow. She began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head that she let down, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Because she took his place as a servant, because nobody washed his feet, nobody kissed him, nobody anointed him. He just came in as just, ho-hum, here's our next target. You know, I'm glad we asked him to here to eat. Let's see if we can trick him. But not. She washed his feet with her tears, a broken and contrite spirit. She used her hair as a towel, giving him her glory. She kissed his feet, giving great welcome. And she anointed his feet with all this oil to make sure that the dust of the streets was taken care of. She was serving the Lord. She saw nobody else did that. She kind of understood why they didn't, and she just started doing it. Lord, give me something that will honor you. Give me a task to do this week. I'm going to say, everyone in this room, if you know Jesus Christ, that God will give you a task to do this week that you'll know, Jesus, you asked me to do it, and I did it all the best I could. I do it to you. And you'll give him great glory. Wow, what a blessed opportunity to watch this woman show forth the fruits of thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You know the old song, I'm so glad Jesus rescued me. I'm so glad Jesus rescued me. I'm so glad Jesus rescued me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus rescued me. I remember 14 years of age, him rescuing me, saving my soul. Stuff I was doing back then, you'd say, well, 14-year-olds don't do any bad stuff. Well, I hung out with a bad crowd, and we did things. I'm thinking, glad, Lord, that stain on my soul has been washed clean by the Master. I may have memory of it, but I don't have to. I am not condemned by that stain. He has washed it white as snow, the Bible says. So thank India, wonderful Savior. Well, here is this grateful woman. And this grateful woman had a lot of past. And Jesus knew about it. But then we have this very grateful woman. She's the dishonored guest. But then we have this self-righteous host. We have to look at him. Because this is the heart of a soul that hasn't been set free. We see it. We know it. Our culture is full of it. When the Pharisee, in verse 39, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, didn't speak out. He was too hypocritical to tell Jesus what he thought right outright. But in his mind, he's thinking, huh, if this man were really a prophet, ha ha ha, yeah, Mr. Prophet, yeah. If he were really a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is as it touches him, for she is a sinner. He says, now I know he's nothing. Because he's let this filthy person from the street touch him. Well, that's so much for what you don't know, prophet. Excuse me, Simon. Jesus knew her past, and he knows yours too. He knows everything you could have done if you had the chance. He knows everything you said, did, or was. He knows every sin that's on your thing, and God is a just God, and God must judge sin. He judged his son for me and for you as a believer. He's judged his son. And I stand in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. All those sins that I remember, all those sins of all time and eternity, a future, Christ has dealt with. Oh, Lord, thank you. His rejected heart. He rejected Christ outright. He knew her past, Simon, and he knows yours, and he knows how to meet and forgive us. His proud heart looked down on her. But, you know, I have a picture in my office. It has a picture of somebody, I think it's a man that needed salvation. And underneath it says, guilty as charged, forgiven as promised. And I say, Lord Jesus, guilty as charged. He said, you know, I know your sin. Yes, sir, guilty as charged. And then he says, well, I promise forgiveness to you. By faith you believed it and you received it. Guilty as charged, forgiven as promised. Don't ever forget that thought. We are guilty as charged, but we're forgiven as promised. Got to make sure here I get going here. Oh, okay, move on. Well, Jesus has grace to give. He could condemn, but he has some grace to give out. And in verses 40 to 48, he talks about the grace that he has to give. God is a God of grace. He has a throne that's called the throne of grace. We come there for favor. We come there for that which we don't deserve. We come there for his wonderful gifts of salvation and care. Jesus said to him, Simon. He didn't say, I've been reading your mind. But he said, Simon, I have been reading your mind. And I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. I want to hear everything you want to say. Hey, guys, get ready to write down the dirt on this. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence. That's about 40 grand, by the way. The other owed 50 pence, or denarii. That was 4 grand, 10 times less. And when they had nothing to pay, frankly, he forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of these will love him the most? 40 grand or 4? Simon answered, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. Sounds reasonable. And he said to him, thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman for the first time that we see in this passage. She's the one Christ is talking about now, and she becomes the spotlight. I love that. Turn it from Simon and his rogue boys to the real power of Christ, this woman. Do you see this woman? I didn't really notice. Yeah, sure, you've been watching her the first time she came in. You would have got the rogues to take her and throw her right out on her head, but you couldn't. You've despised her since the day she set, since the moment she set foot in this room. Yeah, you saw her. I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Typically, that would honored guest would get that. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment, and very expensive ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, which of many, perfect tense, by the way, first number one, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven or are forgiven. When that happened, somewhere out there, Jesus met her. He spoke words of forgiveness to her. He spoke words of repent and believe the good news, too. He had been saying that message all throughout this time period in his life. Repent, turn from your sin, and turn to me. And that message she believed. Those were tears of repentance that you see coming down from her. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That was a mouthful. Because true love for God and his forgiving power in your life brings forth repentance and a changed life and a servant attitude. And so he's just given this Pharisee some good things to write down. And he knew it from the bottom of his heart that Jesus was real and that that was true, what he was saying, and he stood condemned. And then he talks to her. Isn't it great when you take the Bible and you read it and a promise jumps out at you and God says, yeah, that's for you. Last week I said, Lord Jesus, I read the Bible through every year and I've been reading it every time and things jump out at me and I write down, wow, thank you, Lord, wow. Because I know it's one of those passages in the Bible that's a universal promise. Yes, it was made to certain people, but I know it's been repeated all over the Bible, and that's for you. You can believe that. You can take it to the bank. I will keep him in perfect peace who trusts in me. Thinking, Lord, I could take that to the bank. I'm going to trust you. He said to the woman, thy sins have been forgiven. Perfect tense number two. Thy sins have been forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him said, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? He said, what right do you have to forgive sins? Because only God can forgive sins, but the Son of the living God is there with them. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Perfect tense number three. She was saved. She stood before him. Why is she in the room? First of all, she's a newborn creature in Christ. And she's there to say, they won't give you water, oil, kisses. I will. The whole world and our culture is forgetting the Bible. They're forgetting Christ. They refuse in a defiant sort of a way. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I will serve you and I will love you and I will do what I need to do. I won't get my eyes on the opposition. I'll pray for them. I'll tell them about Christ. I'm going to do it. But this woman, she wasn't worrying about Simon. She wasn't worrying about the narrow-minded Pharisees that were there to barbecue him. She was there to serve. I said, Lord Jesus, that's what I want to do, what she's doing. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Saved her soul. My mother's name was Sotira, which is a Greek word for salvation. And this very root word comes from that. Saved. I grew up with my mother reminding me every day of my life that salvation is from the Lord, Sotira. But Sotira, your faith has saved you. You're sitting here, and I don't know everybody, but maybe you're saying, well, how do I get saved? You turn from your sin, just like this woman did, and you say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Look at me. I'm a wreck. Forgive me. Come into my heart and my life. I believe you're God's Son who died for me, rose again, and I will give you my life, my heart, my soul. I, by faith, the best I can, ask you to be my Savior and Lord. I'm turning my heart to you. And boy, I want to tell you, you do that by faith, you will find salvation in Christ Jesus. The Bible's replete with that happening. The uninvited guest is now an invited guest of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I find out who is the invited guest and who is the uninvited guest. Well, she's invited. And then he says, go in peace. I'm giving you my shalom. No matter how bad things get out there, no matter what happens, I want to see people coming forth in Christ. I'm thinking of people. I was just talking to Margarita. Some of you know Margarita, maybe you don't. But Margarita came to us 6 years ago as a wreck, a very pretty Mexican girl with all kinds of opportunities in her life, but she had become an alcoholic and she was drinking her brains out and she was going down to the store to get liquor, or I think it was beer at the time, and somebody called the social service and said this woman left her kids alone and she's down at the local bodega or the convenience store buying booze. And they came and took her three boys away, gave them to her husband who was not being faithful, and she was a wreck. She thought she had lost everything. And she was given, a reference to come to our women and children's department. And she did. That was 6 years ago. She gave her faith gloriously, put her faith gloriously in Christ Jesus, and went through the program for a year, went to college. We helped her. She got her bachelor's degree in social services. She is now the assistant director of our women's site. And her children are back in her life big time. And as I looked at that, I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. You are the Redeemer. It's not just something we say. It's something we can watch. And that's why I want to see more and more women and children. I know there's a harvest of women and children coming to us soon because the streets are full of them. I've never seen so many wasted lives out there right now as I see in America, but I'm thinking, praise the Lord. Now we really got a lot of people to work with. And so we're going to do it. and you're going to pray, and you're going to help, and you're going to come, and you're going to do it. And we're not going to waste this moment, Church of Jesus Christ. We are going to use this tough, awful time in this country. We're going to use it to bring the lost to Christ, just like this woman, because Jesus knows. Go in peace, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The challenge before us today as I close: turn to the Lord in repentance, receive forgiveness and salvation. If you're in this room and you don't know him, you came with somebody, and you can come and see me, see one of the elders here in the church, and talk to them about it. And then tell others of his great love this week. Travel with Jesus Christ, seeking the lost. Salvation, forgiveness. Wow, what a life. Jesus leaves this passage declaring to her the very thing I need in my life before I could ever go to heaven. Declaring her faith. Declaring the fact that she was saved, and declaring the fact that she now has a new peace of life, peace of soul, that is awesome. You couldn't. You look at the story, you say, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. When she left this room, she wasn't worrying about whatever they thought and whatever her reputation had caused them to think about her. She was thinking about the new life Christ had called her to. That's what excites me at 66 years of age, to work hard at the City Mission, because I'm thinking, Lord, I want to take more and more and more and more people to the foot of the cross. And that's where we got to be. It's not going to be easy. It's a tough culture. Wow, is it tough. I thought I was going to get beat up last week by one of the demonstrators was setting his cross, his pavilion, right underneath the Jesus Saves cross. I said, okay, that's it. So I went out and I said, you're not doing that. You move that. You move it now. So he came at me, and I'm thinking, okay, I will back up. That may be a safe distance. You know, they call it distancing today. But just so you don't sucker punch, because that's the famous punch of the ghetto, sucker punching. My guys get sucker punched. I kind of say, well, step back 3 feet. Don't get so close they get sucker punched. So, but anyway, I thought he was in a sucker punch. But I'm thinking, that's all right. I went inside. A couple of my men came out and said, Pastor, don't get so close. I said, but he can't do that. That's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross has drawn more people in bright neon, Jesus Saves. It has brought more people. We got one of these big guys on our program. And I said, so what happened? He said, well, I was out. My family was a wreck. I left. I came from Ohio on a train. I came to Selkirk. I said, where is it? You know, the city? It's Albany. He said, I walked here. And I said, really? He said, yeah, and I came at night, because it was 8 miles to walk from the Selkirk rail yards to the mission. And he said, I saw this cross, said Jesus Saves. I knew I was home. I said, Lord, I'm not going to allow them to set a thing under the cross. Nope. And I went inside. 5 minutes later, I saw him move his whole stand across the street somewhere. I said, well, Lord, thank you. Now, don't follow me in that. I was just one of those things. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these dear brothers and sisters.